Acts chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. Let me see. I'm going back to chapter 2. Let me go there, and we'll start at verse 1. 2 and verse 1. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it set up on each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue, wherein we were born? Perithians and Medes and Elamites and dwellers of Mesopotamia and Judea and Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, and Egypt and the parts of Libya about Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongue the wonderful works of God. They were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, What meaneth this? Others mocking said, These men are full of new wine. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, Ye men of Judea and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, Be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken, as you suppose, seeing it's but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God. He is quoting Joel now. I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens will I pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, the moon into blood, before that great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this day. This is a divine appointment, Lord. We're not here by accident. We're here on purpose. You brought us together for a reason and for a season. Thank you for this word today. Thank you for what you're going to speak to our hearts. And thank you, Holy Spirit, for what you're going to do in our lives with and through this word. Thank you, Lord. We will never be the same in Jesus' name. Amen. If I had a title today, and I'm not going to say I've never preached this message before, but I always preach messages somewhat different one time to the other. But the title that the Lord gave me is, If This Is That, Where's That At? If this is that, where's that at? On the day of Pentecost, as we have read from Acts chapter 2, the Holy Ghost fell in the upper room. 120 men and women were filled with the Holy Ghost as tongues of fire set upon their heads. They began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, friend, you can't box that kind of power up in a room. They couldn't keep it to themselves. They couldn't hold it in that upper room. It was too big for that upper room. So they began to make their way into the streets. And they were so overcome, so heavily under the influence of the Holy Ghost, that they were speaking in tongues in the streets. People came from everywhere to witness this visitation and this manifestation that came from heaven. As it was then, it is now. It always will be. There are different types of people that show up when God moves. Always there are different groups of people. You have skeptics in the group. You have doubters in the group. You have scoffers and you have mockers. You have fearful and you have religious and self-righteous. But thank God, mixed into that crowd, there are always some that are hungry and some that are thirsty, and some that are looking for the real deal, and there are some that are tired of religion and tradition, and they are ready to receive from God whatever He wants to do. Come on, lift your hands and tell God, whatever you want to do, I'm ready to receive it. Oh, hallelujah. My friend, I used to spend a lot of time and energy on the doubters. I used to spend a lot of time on the critical and the religious and the traditional, trying to make them hungry, trying to convince them of the goodness of God, trying to get them to stretch out and reach out for more and become passionate for God. But at this stage in my life, in this age in my life, my focus has been somewhat refined and redesigned. I am here today for the hungry, and I'm here for the thirsty, and I'm not going to force feed you, and I'm not going to try to run you down and get you blessed. I'm going to preach the word of God. I'm going to preach it under the power and the anointing of the Holy Ghost, and I'm going to bring it within your reach, and if you want it, you'll reach out and grab it. Tell your neighbors, I don't know about you, but I'm getting mine. Woo! Hallelujah. I want it. These men and women, these 120 men and women, they flooded the streets out of that upper room. And they were so under the power of the Holy Ghost that people began to mock them and say, these men are full of new wine. Why? Because they look like they were drunk. People began to mock them, say they're under the influence of new wine. Peter answered their criticism by saying, these men are not drunk as ye suppose. He did not say, no, they're not drunk. He did not say, no, they're not under the influence. He said, they're not drunk like you suppose, because the bars ain't open yet. This is heavenly stuff. This is Holy Ghost stuff. This is new wine. This is the best. This is better than Mogan David. This is better than Coors. This is better than Miller High Life. This is better. Hallelujah. He said, you can't get this out of a can. You can't get this out of a bottle. You can't get this out of a pill. This is the what Joel prophesied about. This is the Holy Ghost that God said He would pour out. It's not the kind of intoxication you think about. Then Peter began to say, this is that which is spoken by the prophet Joel. It shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. He said, this is what you're seeing. This is what you're hearing. This is what you're witnessing. All flesh, he said. This is not a Baptist thing, a Methodist thing, Catholic thing, or even a Pentecostal thing. It's a Holy Ghost thing. It's not given to an organization or denomination. It's given to all flesh. Hallelujah. White flesh, black flesh, brown flesh, red flesh, yellow flesh, Baptist flesh, Methodist flesh, Presbyterian flesh, Catholic flesh. It's for the rich flesh, the poor flesh. It's for the male flesh, the female flesh. It's for the young and the old. There's only two requirements. You got to be flesh and you got to be hungry. Hallelujah. Is there any hungry flesh today? David said, oh God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsteth for you. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and a thirsty land where no water is. David is saying, I am thirsty and I have a thirst nothing in this world can quench. This world is a dry desert land that leaves me parched and dry. And the only thing that can deliver me from dying of thirst is your spirit. Pour your spirit out upon me. I want a fresh touch. I want a fresh fire. I want a fresh anointing. I want a drink from that new wine. If we came to every service with that kind of passion, if we came to every service with that kind of pursuit, we would never leave the service saying it was dry. Because that kind of thirst would break open the heavens every time. Isaiah had that kind of thirst. You find in Isaiah 64:1. He said, "Oh God, that thou wouldest rend the heavens, that thou wouldest come down, that the mountains might flow down at thy presence." 120 men and women shut themselves up in an upper room and declared that they would not leave until the rain came. They declared by their presence and their persistence that they were drought stricken and bound to die of thirst unless the heavens opened. And after 10 days of waiting and praying and knocking on heaven's door and declaring their thirst, heaven responded to them. Yes. Suddenly, the Bible says, there came a sound from heaven. Not from the synagogue, not from the scribes and Pharisees, not from the supermarket, not from the radio or the television or the internet, but from heaven. It was known, it was recognized that something holy, something supernatural, something divine was happening in that upper room. It came like a rushing mighty wind and tongues of fire. It arrived with ferocity, intensity, power. It didn't just drift in like a gentle summer breeze. It blasted through the house like a tornado, and they heard it all over town. There is a realm. The Bible says it filled all the house where they were sitting. Listen, there is a realm, and there is a dimension of the presence and the glory of God that does not just come and touch you, but will literally envelop you, and the very atmosphere around you will become thick and saturated with the presence of God. And every way you turn, you bump into God. If you move your hand, you bump into God. If you move your leg, you bump into God. If you back up, you bump into God. If you go forward, you bump into God. The Bible says it filled the house where they were sitting. 2 Chronicles 5:13-14. It came to pass, as the trumpeters and singers were as one, to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, "For he is good." Oh, God likes to hear that. "For his mercy endureth forever." The trumpets were playing and the priests were singing and thanking God. It says, then the house was filled with a cloud, even the house of the Lord. And what happened? The Bible says, so the priests could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the temple. There was such a presence of God that the priests could not stand to minister. As they tried to stand up, the weight of the glory of God, the kabod, the glory, the heaviness of the presence of God was so heavy that they couldn't stand up. Oh God, move like that in my church. Move like that in my home. Move like that in my life. I want that kind of weight of the presence of God. I want that kind of glory in my house. I want that kind of anointing in my life. Shatalaboho. When the glory comes, he doesn't just come to touch us and make us feel good.
Yeah, come on.
He comes to transform us.
Yeah.
He comes to fill us and transform us. Cloven tongues, like as fire set upon them. They were all filled. Everybody say filled.
Filled.
Say they were filled.
Filled.
Bible says they were filled. It didn't say they were thrilled. It said they were filled. Not touched. Not blessed. Filled with the Holy Ghost. And began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. The problem I see in our churches and many churches today is this. Not many people are being filled with the Spirit today. And I'm not just speaking about speaking in tongues, receiving the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues. You might have received the baptism of the Holy Spirit 20, 30 years ago and spoken other tongues. But I'm asking you, are you full? I'm speaking about the place where you are right now in God, the place where you sit and stand right now. Are you
filled with the Holy Ghost. Not just thrilled by the Holy Ghost. Not just touched by the Holy Ghost. Not just blessed by the Holy Ghost. Are you filled with the Holy Ghost? Look at your neighbor and ask him, are you full? Are you full? What I'm saying is simple. We cannot be effective in the Lord's work without being filled with the Holy Ghost. You can be touched and not filled. You can be thrilled and not filled. You can be blessed and not filled. You can be inspired and not filled. Oh, hallelujah. Woo! You can be thrilled and not filled. It's not about being thrilled. It's about being filled. It's not just about being blessed. It's about being full and being transformed. We will not have power until we're filled. We're not qualified until we're filled. We're not equipped until we're filled. We're no threat to hell until we're filled. The early apostles knew the importance of being full of the Holy Ghost. They wouldn't even let them wait on tables unless they were full of the Holy Ghost. Take care of their widows. They chose out 7 men full of the Holy Ghost to take care of that business. Acts 6 and 8, Stephen was full of faith and power. And he did great wonders and miracles among the people. So Stephen was full of the Holy Ghost. He was full of faith. He was full of power. Philip was one of those deacons. Philip went down to Samaria, Acts 8 and 4. He preached Christ unto them. The people gave heed with one accord to the things which Philip spoke, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits crying with a loud voice came out of many that were possessed. And many that were taken with palsies and that were lame were healed. Stephen was full of the Holy Ghost. Philip was full of the Holy Ghost. Jesus, knowing full well that the work that needed to be done had to be done in the power of the Holy Spirit and the Holy Ghost, told his disciples, go to Jerusalem and stay there, tarry there, until, not until you feel something, not until you're blessed, not until you're thrilled, but until you are filled with the Holy Ghost, for you shall receive power. This is that. This is what Job prophesied about. He said it would come in the last days. I've heard for most of my life that we're living in the last days. I certainly believe it today. No doubt about it. But I've heard that the day of Pentecost and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit was the beginning of the last days. And that we're living in the last of the last days, and we're living in the this is that of Joel's prophecy. In other words, this is that began to be fulfilled on the day of Pentecost, and from that day forward, the church began to function in supernatural power. Signs, wonders, miracles, gifts of the Spirit, casting out devils, healing the sick, raising the dead. But this is the question I have this morning. If this is that, where's that at? Judges 6 and 13, Gideon said this, oh my Lord, if the Lord be with us, where are all his miracles which our fathers told us about? The angel of the Lord comes to Gideon and says, the Lord is with you, Gideon. And Gideon said, my, if the Lord is with me, where are the miracles? Where's the signs? Where's the healing? Where's the power? Where's the victory? Where's the deliverance? I don't feel like the Lord is with me. It don't look like the Lord is with me. What's going on? It looks like the Lord went on vacation and didn't give me a forwarding address. I think Gideon was saying the same thing. He was saying, if this is that, where's that at? Where's the miracles? Where's the signs and wonders? Where are men and women filled with the supernatural joy of the Holy Ghost? I don't mean to sound critical about this, but it's been a long time since you walked into a church and 30 minutes before service, you heard men and women crying out to God for a visitation and a manifestation of His power. Does that mean we already have everything we need? Or does it mean we're satisfied with the little bit that we have and we don't want to pay the price for any more? I remember when evangelists would stay in the back room praying until time to take the pulpit. And when they took the pulpit, they were on fire, man. When they took the pulpit, as soon as they opened the Bible and opened their mouths, you could tell they had been with Jesus. You could tell they had been in the presence of God because they were mantled with an anointing and the power of the Holy Ghost was flowing through them.
Amen.
Where's the hunger? Where's the passion for God that would go through anything and lay aside anything just to get to the house of God and be in the presence of God with God's people? The old timers would work all day from sun up to sundown. And we don't even know anything about this per se. You have to read history books to discover this. They'd hitch up a team and ride in a wagon 5 miles to church. Stay till 12, 1 or 2 in the morning, head home, unhitch their team, go to bed for 2 or 3 hours, get up, plow the fields all day and do it again for 5, 6 weeks and months at a time. Don't, please, don't label me critical. If you want to call me anything, call me concerned. Where is the fire that used to burn in the righteous bones of God's holy men and women? There was a time when you didn't have to wonder whether something was sin or not, because your pastor, your preacher told you. Because the preacher wasn't afraid, wasn't embarrassed to address the thing, to call it what it was, so you could be delivered, so you could be healed, so you could be set free. My friend, people need to know that sin is sin. People need to know that fornication is sin. People need to know that adultery is sin. People need to know that shacking up is sin. People need to know that homosexuality and lesbianism is sin. People need to know. Why do they need to know? So they can get right with God. So they can fall in love with Jesus. Somebody told me one day, they said, "Oh, pastor, preacher, pastor, they all know. They know what's wrong. They know they're wrong." No, they don't. No, they don't. When babies are being raised in a family with two daddies, that baby grows up and that baby becomes 20 and 30 years old and still thinks it's natural and normal because nobody ever stood up and told them the truth with the love of God under the power and the anointing of the Holy Ghost and said it's sin and you need to get right with God.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you something. People don't change just because they go to church. People don't quit shacking up just because they go to church. People don't quit lusting just because they go to church. There are people in the churches, filling churches, that are full of lust devils. And while I'm on the subject, let me just say this. There ain't no age to lust devils. I've had old women come after me. I almost had to knock them down. Because they had a lust devil. My brother was traveling with us. We were traveling the evangelistic field. Some of them old women in the church come after my brother. He's 20 years old. They're lusting after my brother and demons. There ain't no age in that, see? Ain't no age in a demon. You're getting anybody's body. They let them. Had a woman come up to me one day. I just got through preaching. She walked up to me. And I seen her coming. I seen the devil in her eyes. I'm serious. I seen the devil in her eyes. She come up and she wanted to kiss me. She wanted to kiss me on the lips. I escaped her, man. I saw that devil coming. And I went, smack me on the side of the face.
She should have
listened
to me.
That's right. We just got out of, we were home revival in Oklahoma.
And we just walked outside of the door of the church. We're on the front porch of the church. I just got through preaching out my heart. The Holy Spirit moved. We had a wonderful service. My brother singing with us, worshiping God, playing the piano. Wonderful, anointed minister. And this woman walked up behind me out on the porch and squeezed his backside.
Yeah.
Right out there in front of the church, on the front porch. My brother goes...
Telling the truth. I watch my wife like a hawk.
Yes, we used to travel, I'm telling you, when we traveled, going to churches, and there would be lust-filled men that would come after our wives.
Yeah.
Come after my wife or come after my brother's wife. And we watched them, man. We watched like a hawk. You don't forget. You might be in ministry out there doing the work of the Lord, but you gotta remember there's some devils out there. We'd be up there doing something, look back there, and all of a sudden some guy would have our wife cornered back in the corner and say, we go back there. And he'd be trying to look down their blouse or something. I'd say, hey, get out of here.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not very big, but I'm big enough.
Come on.
I'm big enough to take care of that.
Come on.
I do the same thing with my sister-in-law. They try to corner her, man, me or Greg, one, whoever saw it, we zoom over there, take care of it, man. Because there's some devils out there. There's some unclean spirits, and they're hiding out in church. And they'll be comfortable there unless there's enough fire to drive them out.
Right.
Be comfortable there unless there's enough of the Word of God and the purity of the Word of God. If you never talk about sin, there'll never be conviction of sin. If you never talk about what's wrong in people's lives, they'll never get it right. Because there'll never be anything for the Holy Spirit to work with to get them to a place of wanting it out of their lives. Hannah was convicted. Hannah was pierced. Hannah was provoked because she was shown her barrenness. Well, people get provoked and they may get mad at you and they may get angry at you. They may get irritated, but ultimately they will love you. And ultimately they'll say, thank God for somebody who loved me enough to tell me the truth. Because the Bible says, you shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free.
Amen.
So where's the men and women and children prophesying? Joel said, Peter quoted him, when this gets here, your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. On your servants and handmaidens I'll pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. Then he said there will be visible wonders and signs. Visible signs of blood and fire and vapor of smoke. And then he said there would be a great harvest of souls. I believe with all my heart we are living in the last days.
Yes.
And the power of God is not diminished. And God has not changed his mind.
That's right.
But the church has gotten lazy and sleepy. And if we're going to see another visitation of Pentecost and Pentecostal power, the church has to get back to the upper room. We've got to go up. We've got to shake ourselves loose from the gravity pull of this world, of worldliness, of indifference, of apathy. We've got to shake ourselves loose from all this worry and anxiety and fearfulness. We've got to close the door behind us. We've got to get down to business with God and cry out till heaven opens and earth shakes and hell goes to shaking because of the prayers of God's people.
Yes, amen.
We're waiting for God to come down and visit us and pour out his spirit. God's waiting for us to come up.
Come on, that's good.
He said, draw nigh to me. I'll draw nigh to you. When are we going to see that which Joel prophesied and Peter proclaimed? When we can't stand it like it is anymore. When we refuse to be refused. When we hold ourselves to the standard of the Word of God. When the thought of the sick and the afflicted, the bound and the oppressed, leaving our churches in the same condition they came, drives us to our knees. When we pull ourselves away from the ball games, the television, the internet, the cell phones, and we get alone with God, we pull ourselves away from Facebook, and we get on our faces, and we refuse to let Him go until He blesses us. My friend, that's when we'll see that. I'm looking for that. That means everything Joel was prophesying about. That is supernatural authority and power to cast out devils, heal the sick, deliver the bound and the oppressed. That is supernatural joy. That is supernatural peace. That is signs and wonders and miracles. That is a divine supernatural prosperity and wealth. And that is a supernatural harvest of souls. And I'm reluctant a little bit to say, I believe one of the big problems in the church today, and the reason we don't see that, is because we can be satisfied with this.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
See, if you can be adjusted to this sickness, and you'll never contend for that divine healing and health. If we can be satisfied with this, no knowledge of the Word and the will of God, then we will never contend for that, the supernatural wisdom of God. If we can be satisfied with this, a casual get-together on Sunday morning where we shake hands and exchange pleasantries, and we hear a sermonette for Christianettes, and then we go home just like we came. Then we will never contend for that. The supernatural demonstration and manifestation of the power of God with miracles and signs and wonders. If we could be satisfied with this, a tepid, lukewarm atmosphere where no one is ever convicted, no one is ever disturbed, then we will never contend for that, for fire from heaven and for the power of the Holy Ghost and for the conviction of the Holy Ghost. Oh God, I want that. I want that. If we can be satisfied with this, empty altars, no salvation, no transformation, then we will never travail and weep over lost souls and contend with God and wrestle with hell until they're born again and sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost and power. Oh, Katola Basa, would you just put your hands up for just a minute and tell God, I want that. Tell God, I want that. Tell God, I'm not satisfied. I'm not a Boshatanabahaya. Oh, God, I want that. I want that. Oh, I want that. I want that. I want that. Oh. Give me just a moment. I know it's a little old-fashioned. I'm sounding a little old-fashioned. But most and many of our altars haven't felt a teardrop on them in a long while. The great revivalist Leonard Ravenhill once said, if you cannot weep over lost souls, then weep over the fact that you cannot weep. I can't speak for everyone, but I'm not ashamed to cry. Many times I found my way to the front of a church and found that old altar and emptied my soul out to God, and He poured heaven in, and I left knowing that God had taken my burden and that God had transformed my heart and He'd strengthened my heart, and I felt like a new man because I met Him at the altar.
Yes. Thank you, Lord.
Closing this thought today, I want to leave you with this one simple question. If this is that, where's that at? Let me just say this to you today. I believe that is just on the other side of Jeremiah 33:3. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. I believe that is just on the other side of 2 Chronicles 7 and 14. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, yes, my people, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land.
Thank you, Lord.
I still believe God's going to visit us again. I still believe God is going to visit the church and visit this world with a last day great shaking, awakening, revival. And I believe today if we can find our way back to an altar and if we can take hold of the horns of the altar and cry out to heaven like Jacob did, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. I've had this, but I want that. I want that. I want that. I want the glory in the house. I want power in my life. I want the fire of God. I want signs and wonders and miracles. I want to see the altars filled with hungry, thirsty, seeking souls. I want to see children prophesying. I want to see the saints in travail crying out to God for the souls of men and women, crying out to God for revival. God, send revival. I want to see the bound and the oppressed set free. I want that. Come on, stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. I'm 57 years old. I'll be 58 years old in a few days. I want to see that revival before I die. When I came, just beginning, as a child in my early years, it was the tail end of such a move of God in our churches that it didn't matter where you went, you could feel God in our churches. It didn't matter. You could walk in the back door and there would be prayer rooms on the side. And you could hear voices, not silent prayer, not, oh Lord Jesus, do something. You hear people crying out, God, God, we need a move of your spirit. Oh, God, send revival to our souls. Oh, God, don't leave us like we are. Oh, God, we need you today. Let your power fill this house. Work your wonders and miracles. People be crying out to God. Sometimes the men and women be together. Sometimes the women be on one side, the men be on this side. But, man, the power of God was in the house. Anywhere you went, any church you walk in, you could feel the presence of God. They had fellowship meetings and people would drive 200 miles to be in a fellowship meeting. And the place was packed out. Because the presence of God was there. And then little by little, did God get tired of us? No. Did God say, I don't want to go to their church anymore? Nope. There wasn't nobody in the prayer rooms anymore. There wasn't nobody at the altars anymore. Putting the pull on heaven. Wasn't nobody crying out to God. God, send your power. Send your spirit. Send your anointing. I sense something happening. And I say this with joy in my heart. I sense God sending an awakening through His church. I sense God. I've got many minister friends. And Pastor Steve is one of them. Sister Terry, they're one of them. They're one of them. They have prayer meetings. They have felt the drawing and the wooing and the summons and the mandate of the Holy Spirit to get the church back into prayer, to get the church on their face and on their knees. We're doing it in this church. I've called this church to prayer. We pray every Thursday at 10 o'clock, and we pray for a good hour, and we seek God for this church and for the community and for what God's going to do on this Central Coast and what He's going to do in the United States of America and the world. We want to see a revival, but see, before that comes, before that manifests, this has got to come back to the church. Prayer
prayer has got to come back. Fasting has got to come back. Hunger and thirst and passion has got to come back. There's got to come back a travail for soul. Oh, one of the most beautiful sounds you can ever hear is when you walk into a church and you hear people crying out to God and travailing over lost souls. And I'm praying, God, send a spirit of travail back to the house of God. Lord, touch the priest until they weep between the porch and the altar. Oh, God, touch my heart. Break my heart for what breaks yours. I want to see a revival, and I want to see it before I die, and I want to be in the middle of it. I want everybody that agrees with this message, fill the front of this building. If you agree with this word today, I want you to come fill the front of this building. And as you're moving to the front of this building, I want you to lift your hands in the air. And I want you to begin to cry out to God, because your children are needing this move of God. Our grandchildren, our school system, my God, our government, it needs God. Oh, there's nothing going to turn it around. It's not legislation. It's not a president. It's God. It's God in the schoolhouse. It's God. White House. It's God in the church house. It's God in your house. It's God in my house. Oh God, see revival.
God,
bring my heart to what breaks souls. Send the spirit of travail. Send the brokenness to the house of God. Oh God, we can't do it. God, we're desperate. We're a needy people. Lord, if you don't do it, it won't get done. Oh God, these are perilous times. We need that, God. We need that. We need the fire. We need the power. We need the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. God, shake us out of our comfort zones. Shake us out of our complacency, God. Shake us out of our indifference. Shake us out of our apathy, God. And turn from their wicked ways. Then when I hear from heaven, I will forgive their sins. I will heal their sins. God, send a revival. Send a revival, God. Send a revival to the Central Coast. Send a revival, oh God, all down this West Coast, God. Send a revival, God, through this liberal state, oh God. And shake these liberals, Lord.
You see,
I'm not preaching to impress you. I'm preaching to impact. I don't want this to end here. I don't want... Somebody wrote a song, I think it was Linda Wolf, years ago. He said, I'm so tired of being stirred and not being changed. God, I don't want to just be stirred. I want to be changed. I don't just want to come to an altar and cry out a little conviction. I want to be changed. Change me, God. Change my heart, oh God. Renew a right spirit within me, God. Put a spirit of dissatisfaction in me for religion and tradition, for just going through the motions, for a powerless experience. I can't do it. Can't do it. I refuse to do it. For I am assembling a people. I am calling them together. It is my sanctified ones. Those that I have made a covenant with. And they are coming together from the east, the west, the north, and the south. I am assembling them for this last day outpouring. I am bringing together an army of prayer warriors and prayer soldiers. I'm bringing together a people that will sacrifice their time. They will sacrifice of themselves. And they will put themselves in my presence. And they will contend with me for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. I am assembling a prayer army, saith the Lord, because I am getting ready to do something phenomenal. I'm getting ready to invade this earth with my presence and my power and my glory. I'm getting ready to overthrow the gainsayers. I'm getting ready to overthrow the liberals. I'm getting ready to overthrow the confusion. I'm getting ready to come back into my churches with power and authority and dominion, saith the Lord. I'm getting ready to show up. I'm getting ready to come forth over my pulpits again, saith the Lord, with righteousness, integrity, with power, and with authority. And I am calling my people together. I am calling forth an army of prayer warriors. The Spirit is calling. There is a sound that is going forth, and there is a summoning that is taking place. And those that will hear my spirit and hear my voice, saith the Lord, they shall come into a place of secrecy. They shall come into a place of intimacy. And they shall come into a place of being clothed. And I will mantle them. And I will clothe them with my anointing and with my spirit, saith the Lord. And they shall come up out of the prayer closets. And they shall come up in power. And they shall come up with anointing. And they shall be a threat to hell. And all that the devil has done and is doing. For I am preparing a people for a last day outpouring, and a last day awakening, and a last day revival, saith the Lord. Can you just worship Him right now? How many would just lift your hand right now and say, Lord, I never want to settle down. I never want to back up. I am not of those of perdition that draw back. But I am of those that believe to the saving of the soul, to the pushing forward, to the advancing of your kingdom. I am not going back. I am not sitting down. I am not settling for this. And you have promised me that. In the name of Jesus. Can you put your hands together? And there's a lot of different people in this house today. I want everyone to take hands with somebody today. I want you to take hands with somebody. You can turn around and face the inner circle, and let's take hands. Everybody take hands with somebody today. I feel so honored today that God has allowed me to minister this word to you from so many different places today, because I believe we're right on time. I believe we're right on time. I believe we're right on time of what God is getting ready to do. This is a Kairos moment for the body of Christ. It's a Kairos moment. God, I pray for my brothers and my sisters today. I'm praying for the pastors that are here. I'm praying for the leaders that are here. I'm praying, oh God, for those who have accepted the call of ministry. I'm praying for every person, Lord, for every person is a minister. Every person is called of you. They are chosen of you. They are anointed of you. And I'm praying today, God, for your will to be done in their life, for the fire of the Holy Ghost to come upon them. Fresh, 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 fresh fire, fresh power, fresh anointing, new vision, Lord, great revelation, oh God, oh Shabbat, of the Kairos moment that you're in, God, of the Kairos moment that you're in, God, oh God, that you raised them up, Lord, God, that you have put them and divinely placed them and anointed them, Lord, because you have been preparing us for a time, you have been preparing us for a Kairos moment, Lord, and we are nearing that moment, we are on the threshold, Lord, of that moment. This is a time of preparation, this is time to get ready so we're not caught off guard. Oh, Sunday, God, do a miracle in his body for your glory in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, I thank you that healing flows through your house right now. I bind and rebuke every sickness, every infirmity. I curse it in Jesus' name. I loose the healing virtue and power of Jesus Christ flow through this house right now. Strengthen every life, Lord. Strengthen every family, Lord. Let your miracle power and life flow through them today, God. Every church, Lord, let every church walk into a new anointing. Let every church walk into a fresh fire and a fresh anointing of the Holy Ghost and power. Let us never be satisfied, Lord, where we're at, but always be pressing forward. Spirit,
amen.
I'm going to ask anyone, if anyone is sick today in this house, if you would put your hand on your body, if you're sick, if you're ill in this house, would you put your hand on your body in Jesus' name, your head, your arm, your leg. Father, you're the God of wonders. You're the God of miracles. You never change. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. Healing is the children's bread. I curse sickness. I curse infirmity. I take authority over headaches. I take authority over sinus problems. I take authority over sinus headaches and migraine headaches. I bind them. I curse them. I rebuke them in Jesus' name. Loose healing for backs right now in the name of Jesus. Healing for legs right now. I bind every trace of arthritis and I curse it in the name of Jesus. And I rebuke it from every body and from every limb, from every finger, every toe, Lord Jesus. Loose your anointing, Lord, and your healing virtue and power to flow through these bodies now and make us whole. By your stripes, we were healed. You took our infirmities. You bore our sicknesses. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Come on, Santa Lobo Shata. Go ahead and put your hands together and give the Lord a high praise. Hallelujah. 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 Well, I want to thank everyone for being here. Thank you for making the effort to come and being with us, being a part of what God is doing. I hear reports of what God is doing over in Las Vegas. I get so excited. I'm invested in that. I've been going out there for 17, 18, 20 years. And so we're kind of invested in that. And a lot of other churches we've invested our prayer time into. And so I'm so excited about what God is doing.
Brother Steve, would you pray a dismissal prayer today?
Yes. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this privilege to be in your presence. We thank you for the word that was spoken to our hearts. I pray it would not soon leave us, but it would stir within us a deeper hunger and desire for you. I pray, God, that you would just, as we leave this place this morning, go with us, Father. And God, may we make an impact everywhere that we go and seize every opportunity that you provide to share your word with others out there. As we engage in aggressive evangelism, I pray, God, that our life would be evangelistic.
Yes.
Not just an outreach that we do once a month, but Father, that our life would be lived, speaking and living your word. Go with us, Father. Let your anointing flow through us. Use us as your vessels and instruments. And we give you all the glory and honor and praise. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. You do have class tonight at 5 o'clock. God bless you. Hallelujah.